Beginning current daf Masechet Shabbos daf Samach Zayin. We begin on the bottom line on Samach Vav Mem Beis, where the Gemara continues speaking about the theme of the previous daf, which spoke about different things for refuah, for healing, different incantations, lechishas, spells that they would say that in the times of the Gemara for different types of illnesses. So the Gemara begins. Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna says, we continue on the top of Samach Zayin and Medav, Le'eshta Tilsim, for a fever of three, which is called Shachefes, it's a fever that comes every 3 days, and that is the last thing the Gemara left off with, was talking about a fever that comes every single day, and the Gemara said three different types of things to do to say for that what happens. What's with a fever that comes every 3 days? So the Gemara says as follows in the name of Rav Huna. Laisi Shiva Silve, he should bring seven small little branches, Mishiva Dikli, from seven date palms, and Mishiva Tzivi, and seven splinters, Mishiva Kishuri, from seven beams, Vishiva Sichi, and seven pegs, Mishiva Kishuri, from seven bridges, Vishiva Ktimi, and seven types of ashes, Mishiva Tanuri, from seven ovens, Vishiva Afri, and seven types of dirt, Mishiva Sanri, from seven door sockets, Vishiva Kufri, and seven types of pitch, Mishiva Avri, from seven ships, Vishiva Buni Kamuni, and seven kernels of cumin, Vishiva Bini, and seven hairs, Midikna de Kalbasava, from the beard of an old dog. So you take all these different items. Vilitsairinu Bechalolo de Beitzavar, and he ties it at the opening of his neck. Benira Barka, with the strand of her hair. And if you do this, then that'll work for Ishta Tilsa, for a fever that comes every 3 days. So the Gemara continues. Amar Biechnan, Le Ishta Tzimirta, for a burning fever. What do you do? So he says, Lushkal Sakina de Kula Parsley. Take a knife that's completely iron. Velezalahecha de Igavardini. Go to a place where there's a thorn bush. Velikter be Nira Barka. And then you knot a strand of hair on it. And you do as follows. Yoy Makama Lichrig be Porte. The first day, you notch it a little bit, slightly. Velema, and you say the following pasuk, Parsha and Shmois, which is by the Parsha of the Snem, where Moshe saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the first time at the burning bush. And it says, V'yera malach Hashem elav v'goyim. And it says that the angel of Hashem revealed himself to Moshe. And the end of the pasuk over there, in Paragimel Pasuk Beis, says, he saw him balabas eish, in the flame of the fire, mitoich hasneh, from within the thorn bush. V'yar, and he saw, v'hina hasneh boyer be'esh, and that the thorn bush is burning in the fire. V'hasneh nein ukel, but it's not getting consumed. So you see the concept of the thorn bush that he said about this, that it's not getting consumed. And then, that's what he does the first day. Lamocha, the following day. Lichuk beporte, again he notches it slightly. Velema, then he says the following pasuk. Vayeme Moshe, Moshe said, Asura novera, let me turn aside and see what's going on over here. As the pasuk continues, Es hamar hagodol has said, this great wondrous thing that I'm witnessing, Madu lo yivar asneh, why is the thorn bush not burning up? That's what he says on the second day. Lamocha, on the third day, Lichuk beporte, again he notches it slightly. Velema, then he says the following pasuk. V'yar Hashem kisor liroys v'kem, that Hashem saw that Moshe Rabbeinu was turning aside to see, and that is as the pasuk over there ends, the yikra elav elikim etech hasneh, that then Hashem called him from within the burning bush and from the thorn bush. V'yem Moshe Moshe, he said Moshe Moshe, and then he says here I am. So that's the concept of this, that it was turning away, that kisor liroys. So too you use these psukim of the burning bush, that you use when you go to this thorn bush to get rid of your fever. You say that it's supposed to be sour, it's supposed to turn aside, turn away. It's a way to get rid of the fever. But then the Gemara asks on this, Amalei Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rava l'Rav Ashi, v'lema, let us say the following pasuk, which is almost the most apropos for this situation of the fever, which is, v'yoyma al tikrav aloyma g'yoyma, that Hashem said to Moshe, don't come any closer. So that is more appropriate because it's saying that the fever shouldn't get any closer. So therefore you should quote that pasuk, that the sickness shouldn't get any closer. So therefore the Gemara revises and says it incorporates that next pasuk. The first day what you say is the first two pesukim we said, which is Vayeri Malach Hashem Elav V'Goymer, and what we had originally said on the second day was included on the first day, Vayeri Moshe V'Goymer. Then the second day, Ulamachar Lema Vayar Hashem Kisa Lirois, that what we had originally said on the third day, now it's said on the second day. And now this fourth pasuk, that's what we say on the third day, Ulamachar, and on the third day, Vayomer, Atikar Alam, don't come any closer. Again, that's the concept that the fever shouldn't get any closer, and that's why you say these psukim to prevent the fever from making the person more sick. And then, Vachipasikli, then when this fever, his sickness stops, then Lisate, he should bend low, Vilefaske, and he should sever the thorn bush, Vilemachar, and he should say the following thing, Hasne, hasne, thorn bush, thorn bush. Lav Mishum de Gviat Mikolilone, Asha Kodesh Bechushchindalach. It's not because that you're higher and loftier and greater than all the other trees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose you to rest His divine presence on you when He appeared Himself to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rather, it's because you're humbler than all the other trees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that that's why you're going to be the one that is going to rest His divine presence on it. And moreover, just like when the fire saw Hanani Mishael Azariah, which is a famous story that they were thrown into a fire, Varikas min Kedemayin, it ran away from them that they weren't consumed by it. So too should you behold fire. Leploini bar Ploinis, which is a reference to himself, the son of this woman, Vitiyarak min Kedemayin, you should run away from him also. Again, these are the different techniques which are used to get rid of this burning fever, and that's what he says, these different incantations, to work it for that purpose. Then the Gemara continues, Lesimta, for boils. Lema hachi, a person to say the following statement. Baz bazye, mas masye, kas kasye, sharloi vamarloi. And that is that these words are the names of the malachim. And the reason why is because each name is a name of refuah. And that is, baz is a terminology of tearing. Mas is a terminology of healing. And kas is a terminology of grinding. And he's saying all these different things that his sickness should be, so to speak, destroyed and consumed and healed. It should take care of what he has. And he continues saying, Ilein malochi dishtalochu maradistam. That these are the angels that have been sent from the land of Stoim, which that's just the incantation, but it's not that they really come from Stoim. Ulaso shchino kivin, and they shall heal these painful boils. And he continues saying, Bazach bazach, bazbazach mesamsomach, kamen komach. And these words also have no meaning. They're just part of the incantation. Einach beich, einach beich. That the color should stay as you are, the color should stay as you are, which means to say that the color that it has shouldn't get any redder, shouldn't get any worse, these boils. And also, asrich beich, that your place should be as it is, that it shouldn't spread anymore. And moreover, zarich kukolot ukapirdim, that your seed, in other words, what you're producing should be like a kolot, which is a terminology of something being locked, that the seed is locked in the belly of the stomach, that it doesn't give birth to anything. And as a mule can't have any children. And that is delay par of aloy ravya, that it shouldn't increase and it shouldn't multiply, just like the kolot and the pirdim can't have any peris. Kach leitiv of leitiv, so to you also should not be fruitful and multiply, begufe de plenum aplainis, in the body, in reference to himself, of this man, the son of that woman. And that's how he takes care of the boils. The Gemara continues, Lekipa, for blisters, what should a person do? Le'imahochi, he should say the following statement. Cheriv shlufa, a drawn sword, v'kela netusha, and the slingshot that's in place, lo'ish me yuchav, its name is not yuchav, choylin machoivin, painful illnesses. Again, this is an incantation, this is a, so to speak, a spell that's said, that was used in the times of the Gemara to heal illnesses. L'sheda, for a demon. Le'imahochi, a person should say the following, lachash. Haves the pokuk, you were stopped up. The pokuk is haves, stopped up, you were. Again, another lachash. Lita, cursed, tover, broken, umishumet, and excommunicated. That is, that should be for this demon, that its name is Bartit, Bartome, Bartina. That these shadim should be, have all these curses, kishamgez as shamgez, merigaz, v'istamai, which are all these other shadim, just like they were excommunicated, broken, cursed, so to should these shadim also have these same curses. L'sheda de besakise, for the demons of the lavatory, of the bathroom, and that is if they are harming a person, as the Gemara says elsewhere in Brochus and other places, that the demons in the bathroom were very harmful. So if they're harming a person, he should say the following lachash. Le'mohochi, he should say, arkafe de ari, on the head of a lion, v'asuse de guryasa, and by the nostril of the lioness, Ashkachtun l'shidoi bar shiroki panda. That's where I found the shade whose name is bar shirke panda. B'meishu de karti chafte, in the field of leek, that's where I felled him, that I knocked him down. B'loye de chamer chatarte, I hit him with the jawbone of a donkey. Again, these words don't have necessarily any meaning, but they're a lachash that's used towards the shadim or the fevers or the blisters or the boils. Now the Gemara resumes discussing our Mishnah, which said that princes are allowed to go out on Shabbos wearing these bells around their neck, which were made out of gold and it was for beauty, and therefore it's considered like a tachshon, an ornament that's intrinsic to the person. And the Mishnah said the same thing applies for everybody. It's just that the Chacham always spoke in what's prevalent, and it's more prevalent for a prince and not a regular commoner to be walking around with these type of bells. So the Gemara asks, Man Tan, who is the Tan of our Mishnah that says V'chol Adam, that even a pauper in Klal Yisrael can walk around with a bell around his neck? It's not intrinsic for a poor person. Therefore, it should be considered a burden for a pauper to be walking out with this bell on Shabbos. So it's Reb Shimon, the Amma, that he says, Kol Yisrael b'nei malachamim. Every Jew is considered a prince, and therefore, it's fit for even a pauper too. And it's not considered, so to speak, an embarrassment, that it should seem like he's a balgaiva, that he holds great of himself, and that he might come to take it off because of it, like it's embarrassing that people are going to say, what are you doing wearing a belt? It's not true. I'm a prince. I could also walk around. I'm not embarrassed. Or also, you would think that maybe because it's such a weird thing that a commoner should be having it, so he's going to show it off to people, say, look what I have. It's not just like princes don't take it off. They're not going to carry it because princes don't take off the jewelry that they're wearing because it's below that, beneath their naked. So too, the same thing would apply even to a pauper. That's the first pshat the Gemara brings. Rav Amar, Rav argues, and he says that no, really, paupers are paupers, and it's not fitting for them to wear the bells. And that is, maybe they would take it off to show it off, and or they would be embarrassed that people say, what are you doing wearing a bell? And they might come to carry it because they're embarrassed walking with it. So why is it mutter for everybody? Because we're talking about a specific case, Ba'arig B'ksuse, where it's woven onto his garment. And that's why he's not going to take it off to show it, because it's stuck, it's woven. It's going according to everybody, not only according to Reb Shimon, but everybody would agree, when it's woven onto his garment, that we weren't geyser that someone's going to take it off, because since it's stuck on, you can't take it off to show it to anyone. So now we begin the next Mishnah, which continues speaking about things that a person is permitted to go out with on Shabbos, specifically these things which are skulais, things which are refuah, but not the general type, that these are different things as the Mishnah explains. Yitzim bebeitzas achargula. A person is allowed to go out on Shabbos with the egg of a locust. Ubeshein shul, and with a fox's tooth. Uvemasmer minatzalav, and with the nail of the gallows where someone was hanged. And these are all mutter mishum refuah, because they're considered ways that people heal themselves. And that's why, as we said, that things that are refuah are considered intrinsic to the person. Therefore, it's not considered carrying. Dibremeh, this is the opinion of Remeh. Acham oisim af bachur. Acham say, not only are you not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos, even during the weekday you can't use these items. Mishum darchemar, because of the ways of the Amorites, that is, it's magic. And it says in the pasuk, Mayikur yotches, uvechukesem loyselechu, you're not allowed to go in the statutes, in the ways of the goyim. And that is, since these are not ways that Hashem has given to you, it's the goyim that were mechadish this, it's their type of black magic or whatever, that you're not allowed to use even during the weekday, it's awesome. So the Gemara explains the Mishnah. We said yoytzim mebeitz tzacharko, that you could go out with, according to the opinion of Rebbe, at least with the egg of a locust. Why would a person do that? What does that help? The avdi l'shichle helps for an irik, and that is they would hang it on their ear, and that would help for an irik. That's why it's considered a refuah. The next item was ubeshein shel ul, so the tooth of a fox. What's that for? The avdi l'shinsa, it helps for sleeping. That is, some people take it to be able to fall asleep, and some use that item that they shouldn't fall asleep, as the Gemara explains. The tooth of a live fox, that helps for someone that's drowsy. That is, that helps to keep him up, that he shouldn't fall asleep. The misa, the tooth of a dead fox, is for someone that can't fall asleep. He's an insomniac. For such a person, that helps him fall asleep. So that is the two types of things. The tooth of a fox, whether alive or dead, helps to be able to fall asleep or to stay up. Then the Mishnah continued, and the nail from the gallows where someone was hung. What's that for? The avdi lezirfa, it helps for swelling. And that is generally, when someone has a swelling on the wound, iron, metal, it makes the wound more inflamed. And this one, to the contrary, interestingly, is that it heals the swelling, and that's the purpose of getting the nail of the person that was hung on the gallows. So then the Mishnah continued, this machloikis, Remeya said that these items are permitted on Shabbos. Mishum refuah de Remeya. Remeya says that's because it's for healing and therefore it's considered intrinsic and it's not a burden. It's not external to the person. It's not carrying on Shabbos. So the Gemara says that Abaye v'Rava d'Amar Avaye, both of them said, Kol davar sheyesh mishum refuah, anything that has that it's obvious from what you're doing, from the procedure, that it's for refuah, for healing. For example, if you're drinking a cup or you're putting on this type of salve on a wound, eimam mishum darchei moriyah. Therefore, in those type of cases, there's no issue, there's no transgression, there's no prohibition of doing like the ways of the Amorites, although they do it also. But since it's obvious, I'm doing it for healing, and therefore that is not also. You're allowed to do healing things. However, the diak is, the inference is, ha'ein b'mishum refuah, but if it's not obvious that it's for refuah, that yesh b'mishum d'archei emori, that then there would be an iser of going in the paths of the emorite. For example, if let's say you're doing a lachash, an incantation, that's not obvious you're doing it for healing, that then it would be the iser of going in the paths of the emorites. But the Gemara asks, by the time you learn the b'raisa, Elon Shemesha Peresa. Regarding a tree, that its fruits fall off very early, it doesn't last and doesn't mature, and therefore it's not as great as they could be. So what does a person do? Sikri bisikri, he dyes it with a red pigment, v'toyne b'avonim, and then he burdens it with rocks. And those are the two things he does to help the tree heal. So the Gemara says, bishlem v'toyne b'avonim, I can understand why you burden it with rocks. Ki hicha delichish chayli, that its vitality, its strength, should be sapped. And that is because since the tree is so fatty and it has a lot of energy, so therefore it causes the fruits to fall off too quickly. So by sapping its energy, that'll help it stay on longer. So that I understand what the purpose of that is, that is, as we said, because they fall off too early. And the sikr b'sikr, mayr fu kovid, but what is dyeing it with red pigment have anything to do with healing the properties of the tree? And still in spite of that, we say that it's mutter. And that seems to be like darchei emori, because there's no, it's not obvious it's for refuah. And so what are you doing, these weird colors? That seems to be like these black magic type of practices. Still we say it's mutter because it helps, even though it's not obvious. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. The reason why you dye it with the red pigment is that people should be able to see and daven for you. And that is, they see that what are you doing? Why do you have this red pigment? Oh, that's what people, the sign they put up to know that his fruits fall off too early. And then they'll know, they say, oh, Hashem, please help this guy's fruit trees that it shouldn't fall off too early. And that's the purpose of it. As the Gemara proves, Ketan has learned in Brisa regarding Mitzayru, that the Pasuk says, V'tomei tomei yikur, that he calls out, impure, impure. And that is, he says about himself, stay away from me, I'm impure. Now, what's the purpose of that? So the Gemara explains, because Tzarech le'diyat tzair le'rabim, he has to notify his pain to the public to say, look what my situation, I was bad, I sinned, and now look what I'm in the impure state. V'rabim yivakesh l'rachem, that the public should beseech mercy for him by Hashem. And therefore, that's why he says, tell me, that people should know about and daven for him. So too here, the reason why you die with the red pigment is that people should know and daven for the person. But it has nothing to do with refuah and archemar. Similarly, the Gemara says, Amra Avina, kamanta linan kuvsi bediklim. Like who do we follow in the tradition, this custom that people have, that they put a bunch of dates, and that is a sign that it's letting the fruits fall off too early. As the Gemara says, ki haitan, it's like that Tana that says that the people that see should daven and should know about it. So they did this interesting meaning that they put on a bunch of dates to say that this thing, all the fruits are falling off. Same idea that people should see and daven for the person. So the Gemara continues on this idea about darchei emori, about the things that the Emorites do, which are usher for us to do. Tani Tana beperka miroi kamei b'chir b'rabim, that there was a Tana that was stating all the different Tanoic opinions in front of b'chir b'rabim. And that is, he was quoting this one perek, this one chapter, which is in the Tosefta, Masech the Shabbos, that talks about the halachas of darchei emori. So Amalei, so Reb Chiya said to that Tana, that was telling him all these Tanoic statements, Kulu isbuhu mishum darchei emori labar mehani. All of them, it's true, they all are usher because of the ways of the Emirates, besides these. And that is, you shouldn't think that one of them are not really usher, they're all usher. Besides these two that I'm going to tell you, that they're not usher. And that is, Mishayeshle etzim begrain, someone that has a bone stuck in his throat. So maybe Mi'isam, and he brings a bone from that same type of bone, Umanichle al kokodin, and puts it on his skull, on top of his head. And he says as follows, Chad, chad, one by one, Noches bala, bala noches. Go down, be swallowed, go down. Chad, chad, one by one. And that, Ema Mishum Dachimer, that, although it seems like a lachash, that might seem like these spells that they make, this is not also, this is a tradition that we have. And that is a Jewish thing, and that's not asal tachemar. The second thing is la'adra, which is the bone of a fish that gets stuck in his trachea. Le'mahochi should say the following statement: Nin atzto kemechet, you got embedded like a needle. Nin alto kisris, you got locked in like a shutter. Shoya, go down, that is a way of getting the bone of the fish down the throat. And that is not asal. However, ho'imer gad godi, someone that says, God is a lashon of mazel, of good fortune. So when he's saying God Godi, he's saying that my constellation should show good fortune. V'sonikloi, and don't be lazy. Ashchi uvushchi, night and day. That yesh b'rishum derech emori, that would be aser because of derech emori, and all the others of the rest until the end of that parak of that chapter that's brought in the Tosefta and the Masechta Shabbos, these things are all aser because of derech emori. However, Rabbi Huda, he argues. He says, "Oimer God ainel el loshen avodah zarah." It's not only going to be us because derech emori. It's much worse than that. The term God, when he says God Godi, that's a terminology of idol worship. Shenem, like it says, a pasuk in Yeshaya, "Ha'orichim laGod shulchan." Those that set a table for God, that's a reference to avodah zarah. So it's not just; it's a much worse avodah. It's avodah zarah. When you say God Godi, you're invoking the name of an avodah zarah. Another thing, hu bishma v'hi bishmai, when he goes with her name and she goes with his name. That is, they change names at night times because of this type of incantation, these different types of phrases that they say at night. Yesh b'bisham dechem, that is usher because of the ways of the Amorit. Dunu dani, which similar letters, but it means that my barrels should be strengthened. Yesh b'bisham dechem, that's also usher because of the ways of the Amorit. Rabbi Huda says, no, it's much worse than that. Ain't done el losh nabay dezar. It's a terminology of invoking in the name of an idol. Shnei Malkei says the pasuk in Amos, "Hanishboyim ba'ashmas Shomron." Those that swear in the iniquity of Shomron, va'amru chay lekecha dan, or they say that by the life of your God Dan, that it's not just the statutes of the Amorites, rather it's literally avodah zarah. And by saying that name, you're saying the name of avodah zarah, and it's much worse than v'chukaseim lisilecha. Rather, it's even the issa of avodah zarah. The Brisa continues, someone that tells a raven, tsarach, croak. And that is, when he hears the raven talking, he says this to him because it would tell over different news and they would say this lachash to the raven that you should croak, in other words, to give me good news. Ularaf to orta, female raven. He says, shrieky, shriek. Vechazeri li zan vechleteva, and you should turn your tail to me for good. Yesh b'mishom derech emori, that's also because of the ways of the Amorites. Moreover, the Brisa continues. Someone that says, "Shachtu tarnogel zeh shikara oivis," slaughter this rooster that croaked like a raven. "V'tarnogelish shikara gavris," and the hen that crowed like a rooster. Yesh b'bishem derechemer. These are all aser because of the incantations, the paths, the waves of the Amorites. If someone says, "Esh tevo iser," that I'm going to drink and leave over. That is that there should be a blessing found in his wine, that although I'm going to drink, it's still going to be left over. Yesh b'mishum derechemer, that's also aser because of the ways of the Amorites. Hamavakaz beitz makaz, someone that breaks eggs on the wall, b'fnei afreichim, in front of the chicks, that they shouldn't die. Yesh b'mishum derechemer, that's also aser because of the ways of the Amorites. V'hamegiz b'fnei afreichim, someone that stirs in front of the chicks, again, that they shouldn't die. Yesh b'mishum derechemer, that's also aser. Hamarakedis, someone that dances. And count 71 chicks b'shvil shalei musa, that they shouldn't die. Also, yesh b'mishum derech emori, it's also asik as the ways of the emor. Hamarkedis l'kudach, someone that dances v'kudach, which is a type of dip that they used to have in Bavel, and they do this dance that's a type of a spell that it should get stronger. Or v'hamashatekes l'adoshim, someone that silences for the lentils, and that is when they put it on the pot, they silence all those that are around that it should cook well. Or v'hamatzavachas legrisa, someone that shouts for the beans. All these yesh b'mishum derech emori, they're all aser. Hamashatenis b'fnei kidei rasa, if a woman urinates in front of her pot, b'shvil shetispashal meher, that it should cook quickly, yesh b'mishum derech emori, that's also aser for them, the ways of the Amorites. Avol noisnin kesim shaltus, but you're allowed to put a splinter of the mulberry, which is very strong like vinegar and it helps for the cooking, that has nothing to do with a lachash or any type of magic that's done, or b'shivrei zchuches b'gedera, or fragments of glass in the pot, b'shvil shetispashal meher, that it should cook very quickly, that is mutter. Because that's nothing to do with magic, it actually has, it works, it has like, it's like a good ingredient. However, chacham oisim b'shivrei zchuches b'nehasakana. However, the chacham do say it's forbidden to use the procedure of putting in the fragments of glass because of danger, and that is, although there's no isra of dachei mori, but still they say that it's dangerous, you might come to swallow the glass, they said that's forbidden. Turn around, we learned the Braisa. Noistin bulshel melach l'toich haner. You're allowed to put a fistful of salt into the lamp. And that's not magic. Rather, it actually helps because it makes the salt makes the oil thinner. And then it helps draw the oil into the wick. So therefore, someone's allowed to do that. As the Braisa said, b'shvil shetar b'tadlik, that it should light and burn very nicely. Also, v'noistin tit v'charos is tachas haner. You're allowed to put mud and clay under the lamp. And that is, that cools down the oil, that it shouldn't burn very fast. B'shvil shetam t'metidlik, that it should go slow and burn. Omer Rav Zutra, Haiman de Michsi Shrog in the Mishka. Rav Zutra said that whoever covers a lamp that has oil inside of it, that is, he puts a cover on top and therefore it makes it burn quicker. And the same in reverse, Umagli Nafta, someone that uncovers a lamp of Naft, that is, when it gets uncovered, then the fire goes more and it draws it more and it burns up more. By both these cases, one by covering it, one by uncovering it, where it makes it burn quicker, the isser of not destroying things, because the fact that you're making it burn quicker and you're not gaining anything is wasting. And that's the isser of Baal Tashchis. The Gemara concludes this parak with another thing, if it darche mer or not. Chamra v'chaye lafum rabbanim. Someone says that wine and life to the mouth of the rabbis, that is when they're pouring and they're putting it into the cup, they say this like a blessing. Im b'mishum darche mer, that's not usher of darche mer. It's a brach, like you say, l'chaim. It's the same thing, it's mutter to do. As the Gemara brings the story, Ma'aser Rebbe Kiva shasa mishta labnoi, he made a party for his son. Al kol koyisu koy shehevi yomar, and every cup that he brought, he said, chamer v'chayi lefum rabbonon, that wine and life to the mouth of the rabbis, chayi v'chamer lefum rabbonon ulefum tamidehen. And that it should be life and wine to the mouth of the rabbis and to the mouth of their students, and therefore there was no isra in that at all. It's not magic, it's a bracha, it's a blessing that people say when they're drinking wine. Hadnulach b'me'isha, we shall return to you the perek b'me'isha, the sixth perek in Masechta Shabbos. Now we begin the seventh perek in Masechta Shabbos, perek Klal Gadol. Now this talks about all the malachas, or the 39 malachas of Shabbos, which are forbidden to do. But however, our Mishnah begins with a general principle relating to the malachas. And it talks about three different types of cases relating to how a person could do many malachas, many different Shabboses, and how many is going to be chayv in it. As our Mishnah begins, Klal Gadol Amr b'Shabbos. There was a major rule that they said regarding Shabbos. And the Gemara is going to explain why is this called a major rule, Klal Gadol. A lot of times it just says a rule. Why is that it's a major rule? So the first one is as follows. Kol ha-shecheach ikar Shabbos. Whoever forgets about the essence of Shabbos, and that is he thinks there is no iser of doing malacha on Shabbos. And therefore, va'asa malachas habi b'Shabbos habi, did many different malachas, prohibited work on many Shabboses. Ein ha-chayv v'lachatas achas. From the whole thing, he did 14 malachas on this Shabbos, 29 malachas on next Shabbos. The whole thing, when he finally finds out about it, he's only chayv for one carbon chatas. And the Gemara on Samach Tes and Beis learns that it says that there's a shmira, one shmira for many Shabboses, and there's one shmira for every Shabbos. And the Gemara there says that it makes sense to say that when it says that there's going to be one shmira for many Shabboses, that it's talking about such a case when all you really had was one shegig. You made one mistake. You thought there was no Shabbos. So therefore, when you're liable at the end, you're only chayev for one carbon chatas, which is in place of it when you do a shagig. And that since you made one mistake, that's all you're going to be chayev for is one carbon chatas. Second case, the Mishnah discusses, hayadei ikar Shabbos. Someone knows about the essence of Shabbos. He knows there's an issa that says that you should not allow to do malach on Shabbos, and that there's an issa malachas on that day. However, va'asa malachas harbe b'Shabbos is harbe. He did many different malachas on many different Shabbos. That is, that he made a mistake, that he forgot that today was Shabbos. And that's from the fact that the next case says that he knew that it's Shabbos. Obviously, the Reish is talking about a case that he didn't know it's Shabbos. So he didn't know, he knew that there's an Issa doing Shabbos, but he didn't know that today was Shabbos. And he did many different malachas on many different Shabboses in such a way without knowing that he had sinned because he didn't realize that that was Shabbos. On that, the Mishnah says, Chayev al kol Shabbos v'Shabbos. That is Chayev, one carbon chatas, for every single Shabbos. And the reason why he's chayiv, only one chatas for every single Shabbos, although he did many melachas, is because in essence, really his shoygig was not a melachas. He knew the melachas were aser. He just didn't know that that day was Shabbos. And therefore, although he didn't even know till the next week, but it's impossible, the Gemara will later explain that he didn't realize from one Shabbos to the next that one of the days was Shabbos. So he knew about it. Once you know is when the chalois, when it starts, the chiyuv of the chatas, and when you do it again, starts a new chiyuv. It's only when you do in all in one blanket of misunderstanding and not knowing that it's all included in one chatas as the case of the first case of the Mishnah. So therefore, every Shabbos, it was one mistake for that Shabbos. He didn't know it's Shabbos because the malachis is not separate. He knew that it's us. So therefore, the one shoygi was on the Shabbos. Therefore, you can have one chatas for every single Shabbos. Then the Mishnah says the third case. Hayideishu Shabbos. He knew that it's Shabbos. Va'asa malachas harbe b'Shabbos is harbe. But he did many different prohibited works on many different Shabboses. And that is that he didn't know that these malachas are aser. And he did them many times on many different Shabboses. He didn't know that this is Taichin. He didn't know that this is Chayrish. He didn't realize that, you know, that digging with a shovel in the ground is something wrong. So then, chayav al kol av malacha malacha. Then he's liable for every av malacha. And that is, for every category of the 39 categories, he's chayav one chatas. And that is, although he repeated it on many different Shabbos, it's all considered one blanket shkaga of unknowingness. Because he didn't realize in between from this Shabbos to next Shabbos to a month to a year that this was wrong. And therefore, it's all going to be included in this one chatas for every malacha. So if, let's say, over the span of 5 years, his 27 malachas he didn't know about, then he's going to be chayav for 27 chatas, not for every Shabbos, because Shabbos he knew that it was Shabbos. And the only thing that he didn't know was the malacha, and that he never ended up realizing until after the 5 years. So for those, it's to consider one blanket of halama, of not knowing, he's going to be chayav 27 karban chatas for the 27 av malachas that he did wrong. However, this is different than the first case of the Mishnah where he said that it's enough with one chatas for every single Shabbos, because here, Shabbos, he knew about it. It wasn't that he didn't know Shabbos and that the whole Shabbos is one blanket shaykik. He knew about Shabbos, he just didn't know about these malachas, and that is many different malachas that he did, and therefore you're going to be chayiv as many malachas as it is, even on that one Shabbos. If it was 10 malachas on that Shabbos, it'll be 10 karban chatas, but it will cover up until, for the next 5 years, until he finds out about those malachas. So now, the truth is that this that the Mishnah said about the Av Malachim, we continue on to the top of Samachesim at Aleph. The reason why the Mishnah said about that you would be Chayav Kamachatas for each Av Malacha, for each, so to speak, father, which has its derivatives, that the way the Malachas of Shabbos work is there's 39 categories. And starts Zareya, Chayrish, it goes through all the different 39, and each one has derivatives that are under it, that are included in the Isser. For example, planting has watering, because it facilitates the planting. So therefore, the truth is it would apply even to the toldis, that it would also be chayiv for as many toldis you did over the span of all that Shabbos that you didn't know it's wrong. The reason why it picks the Yav Malacha is because it's coming to exclude if, let's say, you do two toldos of one Av, or if you do an Av and its tolada, that then you're only chayiv for one. You wouldn't be chayiv for every tolda, because as the Mishnah concludes, it says, Ha'isa Malachis Harbe Me'im Malacha Achas. Someone that does many different malachas, prohibited activity of Shabbos, that are from one category, that is, they share one Av Malacha. So if you do two toldos of one Av Malacha, then Ein Achayiv Alachatas Achas. Then you'd be liable for only one karbachatas. That is, it's almost like the case that when you do something and you repeat again with one blanket of not knowing this, that then you're only chayav one chatas for that one blanket of shaygig. It's only when you do two different actions in one span of not knowing that then you'd be chayav two different karbachatas. Like in this case, where for 5 years you didn't know these malachas were asr, but since one is chayish, one is zereya, they're all different, so then you chayav for each one. It's excluding the case of when there, let's say, there's three toldas of one av malacha, that they're all derivatives of let's say sewing, or and then these are all part of the toldos, they're all derivatives under that category, then you would only be chayav for one chatas, because it's only when each av malacha, when you have an av and a toldo, or many toldos of one av, you only chayav one chatas.